Good day to you. My name is Kim Harden, and I am reading the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, September 9th. I'm going to open with a story by Will Brumlevy, Gibson City-based One Earth Sequestration, LLC, Carbon Sequestration Project, back on the table. After state's moratorium is lifted, OES seeks to build CO2 pipeline injection well. Gibson City's One Earth Energy ethanol plant has resumed seeking regulatory approval for its proposed carbon capture and storage project to be known as the OES Pipeline. One Earth Sequestration LLC, a subsidiary of One Earth Energy LLC, is proposing to build a 5.4-mile, 8-inch diameter pipeline to transport liquefied carbon dioxide captured from the ethanol plant in the Jordan Industrial Park on Gibson City's west edge to a single sequestration well in eastern McLean County near Saybrook, where the CO2 would be sent to thousands of feet underground to be stored, said Steve Kelly, president of the chief executive officers of OES and OEE. The project's scope has changed slightly from the past plans, which has called for a 16-inch diameter, 5.92-mile pipeline, plus two sequestration wells. Kelly said, The project now includes four proposed monitoring wells in McLean County, too, instead of only three. The project is back on the table today after the state's two-year moratorium on carbon capture and storage permits expired and the Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration issued updated federal pipeline safety regulations this summer. The project, initially expected to cost $19 million, will require the issuance of a Class 6 permit by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for the injection well, plus a certificate of authority by the Illinois Commerce Commission to build and operate the pipeline. It also will require the issuance of special use permits for the well in McLean County and possibly the 3.4-mile section of pipeline in Ford County. OES has already applied to the EPA for the well permit. While the permit was originally for three wells, according to the EPA's website, only one is now planned, Kelly said. Public comments on the EPA's intent to issue the permit are due Wednesday, September 23rd, and can be made through the docket on the agency's website. Also, the EPA will conduct a public hearing on the permit application from 6 to 9 p.m. Tuesday, September 22nd, at the Countryside Campground Event Center, 403 East 200 North Road, Gibson City. Later, OES will host public meetings as a requirement for reapplying this fall to the ICC for its Certificate of Authority required under the Carbon Dioxide Transportation and Sequestration Act. The meetings regarding the project and its proposed pipeline route are set for 10:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, October 7th at the Countryside Campground Event Center, south of Gibson City, and for 10:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Thursday, October 15th at the McLean County Fairgrounds Mini Expo Building, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington. The ICC's public hearing process for OES original application from 2023 was suspended on June 10, 2024, after the statewide moratorium was passed by the state legislature. Kelly said the application must now be refiled, which will start over the ICC's public hearing process. Following project approval by both the EPA and ICC, OES plans to apply for the special use permits through McLean County and Ford County as well, if needed. With the project, carbon dioxide would be captured directly from the fermentation process at the ethanol plant rather than being released into the atmosphere. The CO2 would be compressed into a supercritical fluid and injected more than 6,000 feet underground for permanent storage within the 2014 feet thick Mount Simon Sandstone Reservoir, according to OES's website. The project would capture 521,000 metric tons of CO2 annually, the equivalent of removing 123,999 gasoline-powered passenger vehicles from the road for 1 year, the website said. The project would also enable OEE's production of low-carbon ethanol and sustainable aviation fuel, SAF, the website said. The proposed injection well and the monitoring well sites are outside the mapped boundaries of the Mahomet Aquifer, a major groundwater resource in east-central Illinois. OEE's website noted Some area residents have expressed concern that the aquifer could be contaminated with a CO2 leak. The aquifer occurs within shallow glacial sand and gravel deposits, while the proposed CO2 storage zone is located more than a mile underground in the deep sandstone formations. GIS analysis confirmed no impacts to protected areas, groundwater resources, or existing development at the proposed locations. As project planning advances, OES has been working with the local fire departments, hospitals, emergency management officials, and state agencies to ensure community safety if the project moves forward. That includes the providing of emergency responder training, procurement of safety equipment, and development of a comprehensive emergency response plan. More information about the project can be found online at www.oneearthsequestration.com/icc-pipeline-information. Will Brumlevy has a picture posted on titled Tragedy at Trailer. Paxton Police, along with Ford County Sheriff's deputies and Illinois State Police, processed the scene of what Police Chief Coy Cornett said appeared to be an accidental, self-inflicted shooting that left a 22-year-old man dead. According to a news release from Cornett, police responded about 4:32 a.m. on Sunday, September 6th, to a mobile home in the 400 block of West Pine Street in Paxton, where police and paramedics provided medical assistance to the man before he was transported to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, where he was later pronounced dead. The situation is still under investigation, Cornett said in the release. More information will become available once the investigation is complete. Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower declined to release the deceased's identity, noting that her office would not normally do so in circumstances like this. Gibson City Harvest Fest, also Will Brumlevy, Brumlevy writes, somber salute to be part of Funfield Weekend's lineup. Also on 9/11, concert free for first responders to attend. In Gibson City, amidst all of the fun happening in downtown this weekend, there will be time set aside for some serious reflection. As Gibson City's annual Harvest Fest gets underway Friday, the anniversary of the terrorist attacks on America of September 11, 2001, there will be a moment of silence observed in remembrance of the lives lost that fateful day 25 years ago, now known simply as 9/11. It will happen just before the 7:30 p.m. start of Friday's concert featuring country musicians Drew Baldridge and Cody Webb. First responders, including police officers, firefighters, and paramedics, will receive free admission to the concert that night, too, just by flashing their badge. "We want Gibson City to have a great time," said Natalie Barnett, the two-day festival's marketing director and concert photographer. "But on September 11th, we want to really also commemorate something that happened and really just commemorate the people who helped in that situation. We really want to focus on making that day something that we can give remembrance to as well." Harvest Fest opens with carnival rides at 4 p.m. on Friday. The carnival provided by Connor Family Amusements also runs Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. and continues each night through the end of each night's concert. Saturday's concert, which begins at 7:30 p.m., is part of the Pop 2000 tour featuring Chris Kirkpatrick of the pop group NSYNC, along with pop rock singer Ryan Cabrera, and boy bands O-Town and LFO. The event's entire lineup of activities, from the carnival to the concerts, will be family-friendly. Both bands on both nights are very family-friendly to all ages, and we welcome all to attend, Barnett said. "We have made sure that it is truly family-friendly all around." The festival also includes a bags tournament that starts at 3 o'clock on Saturday following practice and registration from 2 to 2:45. There's a $50 entry fee per two-person team, and cash prizes will include $1,000 for first place and $500 for the second. Several food trucks will be on hand also, in addition to a beer tent. "I believe we have at least 8 to 10 food trucks," Barnett said. "It's a good variety. We have everything from lobster to barbecue and all of that." The beer tent will be run by Harvest Fest Committee, with proceeds going to support future festivals. Separately, there will be mixed drinks available for purchase, too. Each drink will cost one $5 chip. General admission to the concerts, meanwhile, costs $10 each night, with tickets to the party pit closer to the stage costing $25. Tickets are on sale at GibsonCityHarvestFest.com. In the past, general admissions to the concert was free, and attendees age 21 and up paid $10 for a wristband to buy alcohol. This year, there will be no additional fee for the wristbands. Armbands provided unlimited access to the carnival rides will be available for purchase for $25 per day. There will be rides for all ages. It'll take up most of downtown. It will be obviously on Sangamon Avenue, and we'll have some side streets blocked off too. It'll be a pretty big area of carnival rides and games. We're going with a different carnival company this time, so there will be a lot more rides for a lot more ages than in the past. They do bring a few games as well. While there will be no flea market this year at the festival, downtown businesses are being encouraged to stay open late on both Friday and Saturday night. We are encouraging people to shop downtown. Barnett, who is employed as a nurse at Gibson City Area Hospital in Gibson City, is also a freelance concert photographer, and she is hoping for a good turnout. It's really rare for a small community like ours to have such a big event. It has fun for all ages. The concerts are for all ages, and it's for a very low price. It's going to be fun. It's supporting the community all around, and we really hope to see everyone out there. Besides Barnett, the Gibson City Harvest Fest Committee includes Dale Denny as president, plus Billy Joe Denny, Brooke Friels, Jason Friels, Natalie Barnett, Amy Workman, Andy Workman, Wendy Wiedner, Brad Wiedner, Cameron Reynolds, Brandon Zumwalt, and Don Reynolds, with Andy Wiedner, a junior helper. Besides the Harvest Fest, here's a list of other upcoming community events. Saturday, September 12th, in addition to that Harvest Fest in Gibson City, is the 8th Annual Team Hope Walk. The 8th Annual Team Hope Walk is set for Saturday the 12th to raise funds for the Huntington's Disease Society of America. The event will be at Lakeview Country Club at Bales Lake, west of Loda, with check-in set for 7 to 7:30 a.m. and the walk starting at 8 a.m. To sign up, people can visit www.hdsa.org/THWLODA. The event is hosted by Samantha Cox, whose mother, Vicki McCoy, died from Huntington's disease in July of 2023. Cox and her brother, Jake McCoy, also have Huntington's disease. Anyone with questions can contact Cox at 217-249-1421 or sjmccoy85@yahoo.com. On Sunday, September 13th, Piper City Community Fun Day is set for 1 to 3 o'clock at the Branch Park in Piper City. The free event will include live music, hot dogs, refreshments, bingo, lawn games, and face painting. Attendees are advised to bring their own lawn chairs. In case of rain, the event will be moved indoors to the community building. The event is sponsored by Piper City businesses and churches. The 9/11 Memorial Ride. The Illinois and Indiana Firefighters Association annual 9/11 Memorial Ride will be held Sunday, September 13th, in remembrance of the firefighters, police officers, and other emergency personnel who lost their lives on September 11th, 2001. The event involves motorcycles and any other vehicles that wish to take part, riding in remembrance through the Indiana and Illinois, including towns in Vermilion County and Ford counties. The suggested donation to participate in the ride is $20 for a single rider plus $10 per passenger. Event proceeds are used by the INI Firefighters Association to help firefighters in need, including those who fall ill or get injured and are unable to work as a result. Registration for the ride runs from 8 to 10 a.m. in the parking lot at the Village Mall, 2917 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with a bike blessing at 9:40 a.m. and departure at 10 a.m. Along the ride, there will be a 20-minute rest stop at the firehouses in Rossville, Homer, and Indianola, in addition to a one-hour lunch stop in Paxton. The bikers will also pass by Paxton's grand old flag before leaving Paxton. The ride ends at the Stars Restaurant and Bar at 102 North Sandusky Sandusky Street in Caitlin. After the ride, there will be dinner and a 50-50 drawing. For more information, people can call Dan Hudson at 217-474-5177 or Melissa Hudson, 217-663-9462. Under the Grand Old Flag Event, the 7th annual Under the Grand Old Flag Event in Paxton will be from 1 o'clock on Sunday, September 13th at Paxton's Grand Old Flag behind PBL High School. The event celebrates the lives lost in 9/11 and will include a welcome address by Pride in Paxton President Don Mertes, the singing of the Star Spangled Banner by Ava Reinhardt, the reading of a prayer by Judy Popel, and a poem by Macy Kingren, and remarks by Paxton Fire Chief Denny Kingren, Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold, and State Representative Jason Bunting, Republican of Emington. There will also be patriotic music performed by the PBL High School Marching Band, directed by Josh Breen, and sponsored by Pride in Paxton. The event will be held at the same time as the annual 9/11 Memorial Ride, whose participants will drive by the flag before departing Paxton. For more information, contact Kim Evans, 217-379-1347. Wednesday, September 16th, Produce Pantry and Health Fair. The community is invited to attend a free Produce Pantry and Health Fair from 3 to 5 Wednesday, September 16th at the Roberts Village Gym at 118 West Weldon Street in Roberts. The event is open to everyone regardless of income, and free parking is available in front of the gym. Attendees can pick up fresh produce purchased from Gibson City's County Market while also taking advantage of several free health screenings and wellness services provided by the Mennonite College of Nursing at Illinois State University. Screenings will include blood pressure, vision, color blindness, and hemoglobin A1C testing, which provides an estimate of a person's average blood sugar over the previous 3 months. Wellness education and support from registered dietitians at Gibson City Area Hospital will also be available. A new feature at the health fair will be the veggie meter, a quick non-invasive tool that measures carotenoids in the skin. The event is sponsored by Jeremiah 33.6 and Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services. For more information, people can contact Jeremiah 33.6 via email at naturallyboostyourimmunity@gmail.com. On Friday, the 18th of September, Gibson City's Friday Night Under the Lights will be held from 6 to 9 on Friday, September 18th, featuring a car cruise, food vendors, and live music downtown on Sangamon Avenue. All vehicles are invited to participate in the cruise. And finally, on Saturday, September 19th, head out to the 14th annual Paxton Swine and Dine Barbecue Contest and Festival. The 14th annual Paxton Swine and Dine will be held on Saturday, September 19th in downtown Paxton. The event features a barbecue contest sanctioned by the Kansas City Barbecue Society that will award custom trophies with cash prizes, retail and food vendors, inflatables, a petting zoo, a bags tournament, a car cruise in, and an evening concert headlined by country music artist Gabby Barrett and Paxton native Gina Miles, the winner of season 23 NBC's The Voice. For the barbecue contest, teams will begin set up at 5 a.m., followed by registration at 5:30 a.m., meat inspection at 6 a.m., chicken turn-in at noon, ribs turn-in at 1, and awards on the main stage at 3 o'clock. Vendors open at 10 a.m. with lunch stands opening at 11. Inflatables and a petting zoo open at noon, followed by registration and practice from 1 to 1:45 for a bags tournament that starts at 2 o'clock. A car show cruise-in will be at 5 prior to concert starting at 5:30 when the party pit opens. The concert stage will be set up at the intersection of Market and State Streets near the downtown North End. Party pit tickets of the concert will be available for $30 each in the event with cash only accepted. Tickets can be purchased at the event's website, PaxtonWineIndine.com, where barbecue cook-off competitors can also sign up. Adults purchasing alcohol will be required to purchase a wristband too, with only cash accepted. Wristbands are $5 if purchased between 10 and 3, $10 purchased after 3. A story of note from the U.S. Attorney's Office by Bradley Zimmerman. Federal prosecutors warn of scam calls in the area. Federal prosecutors are warning the public about scammers following recent reports of fraudulent phone calls. In a news release, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of Illinois did not mention a specific incident involving its office. However, they said scammers may claim to be their attorneys, spoof their phone number, and even use the names of real staff members. Calls may include threats and demands for payment. The U.S. Attorney's Office does not request money, personal financial information, or sensitive identifying details over the phone. The U.S. Attorney's Office remains steadfast in protecting the public and ensuring individuals are not exploited through impersonation schemes. These scams succeed by casting doubt and fear into their victims, pressuring them to reveal information they would otherwise keep secure, said Attorney Gregory Gilmore. We will not allow these tactics to undermine the trust and safety of our communities. My office will never stop working to safeguard the citizens of the Central District of Illinois. From the U.S. Department of Agriculture, additional relief for Illinois farmers impacted by March storms is announced. In Kankakee, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Thursday the availability of low-interest emergency physical loss loans from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for farmers and producers impacted by a series of severe storms that swept through Kankakee and surrounding counties on March 10th and 11th. The severe storms brought 5 confirmed tornadoes and record-setting hail, as well as damage to at least 300 properties, including over 30 that were destroyed. The USDA determined that there were sufficient production losses to warrant a disaster designation for the primary natural disaster area of Kankakee County and the contiguous disaster areas of Ford, Grundy, Iroquois, Livingston, and Will counties. The disaster designation makes farm operators in the primary and contiguous counties eligible to be considered for USDA Farm Service Agency FSA emergency loan assistance, provided eligibility requirements are met. Low-interest emergency physical loss loans through the USDA's FSA offices can help producers repair or replace damaged or destroyed physical property essential to the success of the agricultural operation, including livestock losses. Farmers in eligible counties have until next April to apply for the emergency loans. Local FSA offices can provide affected farmers with more information. The U.S. Small Business Administration's disaster declaration in April also allowed Illinois homeowners, renters, businesses, and some nonprofits to apply for low-interest loans for damages not covered by insurance. Turning to the obituaries now, written by Evelyn Andrus. Evelyn Marie Andrus, 77, of Bellflower and Saybrook area, died Monday, August 31st, at Memory Haven of Tolono. Visitation and the funeral were on September 8th. My apologies, written for Evelyn Andrus. Mike Haroon, 69, of Supply, North Carolina, formerly of Thawville and Onarga, died Saturday, July 25th, after complications of surgery and kidney failure. A celebration of his life was from 5 to 7 on Saturday, September 5th, at the Harvest Moon Twin Drive-In in Gibson City, which he was actually an owner of that. And he also had owned Angel Auto Services and many other businesses. The family will hold a private burial. Ruby M. Kaufman, 94, of Cisna Park, died Wednesday, September 2nd. Visitation was from 1 to 2 on Saturday the 5th at the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park, followed by 2 o'clock by funeral services at the church. Burial was in the Cisna Park Cemetery. Sarah J. McGarrigle, 91, of Fisher, died Thursday, September 3rd at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. A private family service will be held. Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City is handling the arrangements. Sarah had been a teacher at ABL. Sally Peterson Falzone, 84, a native of Paxton, died at Northwest Hospital in Tucson, Arizona. Internment plans were pending. Sally had been a professor at UIC Medical College and in California. Curtis Rollins, formerly of the Elliott and Gibson City area, died on Monday, August 31st. A private service will be held. Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton is handling the arrangements, and Curtis was a true lover of the simplicity of nature. Jackie Marie Sugar Rupelius, 61, of Gibson City, died Thursday, August 27th, in Paxton. Cremation rites were accorded. Services will be held at a later date. Cox Knapp Funeral Home in Paxton is assisting the family with the arrangements. And it appears Sugar loved music. Judith Ann Shreves, Judy, 83, of Rantoul, sister-in-law of a Loda resident, died at 9:54 Tuesday, September 1st at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of her life will be at a later date. A private family burial will be in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton is assisting the family with the arrangements. Judy had worked at a flower shop and Dina's Style Shop in Rantoul. And Mildred Elaine Taylor, 83, of Gibson City, died Monday, August 31st at Carl Foundation Hospital. A memorial service will be at 1 o'clock Saturday, September 13th at the Gibson City United Methodist Church. Visitation will be from noon to 1 on Sunday, September 13th at the church. Millie had been an administrative assistant for the city of Urbana and loved being with her grandkids. Looks like Gibson City's old swimming pool's final season comes to an end as a new pool is built. Derek Mitchell writes, "Pool season is coming to a close in central Illinois, and Gibson City's swimming pool is looking back at its final season before its new pool opens. Hundreds of people bought passes throughout the summer. The season was cut short as the pool had to close before Labor Day, with high school age staff returning to the classroom. The hope is that next year the season can be extended at the new pool. Gibson City is building a new pool. Super cool," said assistant pool manager Rachel Dewey. "We're going to open up in probably May, and we'll have a longer season. Hopefully we can be open until Labor Day." Dewey said construction crews will demolish the old pool in the next few weeks, and the site will be turned into a parking lot. The new pool will be heated and include a diving pool and slide and a zero-entry area. A quick peek at the upcoming football games in the area for Week 4 and the predictions. Prairie Central, who's 1-2, will be at Paxton Buckley. Loda, who's 0-3. Of the six predictors, three of them indicate PBL will win, and three of them say Prairie Central. Tuscola, who is 3-0, will be at Gibson City. Melvin Sibley, who is 1-2, and two of the predictors of the six are actually picking GCMS, and the other four going for Tuscola. Villa Grove Heritage, who is 1-1, will be at Fisher, who's 3-0, and it's a unanimous call for Fisher. Bloomington Central Catholic, 2-1, visiting Rantoul, 0-3, and again, unanimous decision for BCC. The 3-0 St. Joe Ogden team will be at Tolono Unity, who's 2-1. Kind of a split decision. Two are pulling for the Rockets at Unity, and four say SJO will win this game. Iroquois West, who's 1-2, will be at Salt Fork, who's 2-1, and Salt Fork across the board. Clinton, who's 0-3, will be at Ridgeview Lexington, also 0-3. It is a split 3-3 decision for that. Anyone's guess. Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin, 1-2, at Hoopston area, 0-3. BHRA across the board is expected to win. Asking the question, can GCMS get back to 500 and can BBL notch its first win of the season? Andrew Roston states, maybe the home field advantage will do the trick for Ford County Schools. Will Brumley, however, states that Ford County Schools will fall again, but both will bounce back next week. And Coach Rocky Myron comments, believe, PBL, believe. Derek Bowman, though, says it will be another tough week for Ford County. That concludes my reading for today of the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, September 9th, 2026. This has been Kim Harden. It's been my pleasure to read for you. I hope you have a great day.